All right, reminding you that the BBP is brought to you by 50 West Brewing Company, and things are happening at 50 West. The next big event you need to check out, Saturday, November 4th at 50 West Brewing Company. They have the Great Ohio Brew and Q. It's Great Lakes and 50 West collaborating again. So it's going to be chefs, brewers from both breweries. Can't miss display of beers and barbecue. This is as good as it gets combining those two. So tickets are available online at 50westbrew.com. Make sure you check that out.
Yeah, and while 50 West helps Paul and I bring you behind the scenes and inside the Bengals here on the BBP, make sure you head over there every Sunday, 50 West Brewing Company, for all your NFL action, featuring every NFL game. Of course, their award-winning selection of craft beers and prizes given away each week. 50 West, perfect spot to root on your Bengals and then come back for this BBP. You can learn more about them.
Optimistic Bobby's Bengals,
yeah,
too. So he'll be there. Anyway, make sure you check them out. There is stuff going on there every single day. Canoeing, volleyball. If you're active, you're running groups, you name it, you can go on down to 50 West. They're adding value to people's life through beer. No better way to do that. So 50 West, every beer is a journey, so join for the ride. Welcome into the BBP. This is the Cincinnati Inquirer's Bengals Beat podcast presented by 50 West Brewery. Here, your Cincinnati.com Bengals Beat writers, Jim Osarski and Paul Diener Jr., invite you beyond the headlines and inside Paul Brown Stadium for the scoop on all things Bengals. Find out insider news, listen in on conversations with players, coaches, and others relevant to the club. You can subscribe in iTunes, Google Play, or your preferred podcast platform. Of course, you can always listen in the podcast section of our Cincinnati.com Bengals app. Let's go. All right, welcome into the latest edition of the BBP 2.
Deuce.
The Deuce, presented by 50 West Brewing Company. Happy to be with you. It's Colts week, which doesn't have quite the same excitement as Steelers
week.
Especially when Colts week is Jacoby Brissett and the hapless fighting Paganos.
Yeah.
Are they worse than the Browns? You can't be worse than the Browns. But
no,
they might
beat the Browns.
They did beat the Browns, but it was close in Indy.
Yeah. So they're slightly better.
And they've had more injuries since then.
They have had more injuries. I still say they're slightly better than the Brown.
I mean, only because the
And that's
the Browns
only
are
because
so
the Colts have people who can theoretically catch. Jack Doyle and Dante Moncrief are having a real hard time doing their job.
Yeah.
But unlike Kenny Britt and whoever else they were trying to throw to in Cleveland, at least like Dante Moncrief and T.Y. Hilton are like real dudes
yeah.
who have done stuff in this league. So
and Jacoby Brissett hasn't been the complete dumpster fire that maybe you would have thought coming
right.
in when he
He's
did.
He's actually probably been better.
He's definitely better than anything the Browns have.
Yeah.
But that's not saying
so much. They're slightly better because they might actually score 10 points.
You are setting Bengals fans up for the saddest Sunday of all time if that happens. It is similar, and we're going to get to a lot of this stuff. We're going to talk looks like John Ross is going to come back this weekend. We're going to talk a little bit about some interesting things found in the run game, my run game piece this week. Optimistic Bobby is going to show up with his optimistic thoughts and questions. We're going to do our predictions of Bengals Colts, and Andy Dalton was our guest last week on BTS, his hot seat with Doc. Doc kind of got after him a little bit.
Yeah.
So the hot seat's really good, so keep a listen out for that. Nick Vigil is our guest this Tuesday. Holy Grail Bank, 7 o'clock. So come on down, check that out. But to talk about the Colts, I mean, I feel like it could have been so much worse for them with this Andrew Luck situation. The Bengals luck out. They don't have to face Andrew Luck.
Right.
And Malik Hooker gets hurt.
Yeah.
He was playing really well for them. And John Simon gets hurt. He was playing really well for them. On defense, and they already were a bad defense, and those were probably, you could argue, two of their best players.
You know it's bad when Marvin Lewis opens up a press conference. It's like, well, we're going to see Mingo. He did.
Yeah.
When, I mean, you know.
Obviously I don't know why that one struck me so funny.
Obviously, the Bengals are well aware of Barkevious Mingo.
After years of ineffectiveness, you know, blocking him.
Yeah. You know, it's just not good.
Yeah, they don't have much there.
You and I talked about this a little bit off air prior to the last BBP, but we're in this like rinse, wash, repeat cycle for the men right now, Paul. Like this all would have changed if they beat Pittsburgh, but they didn't. So here we are again in the same mode as Cleveland. What if?
Yeah.
What if this team loses to the Colts? Oh my God! It's like you're garbage.
Well, they would be.
You quit, and it's over.
Yeah. And I wouldn't disagree with any of that.
Right. Which is what we were saying.
Yeah.
In Cleveland. Well, I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't either.
So then now they're 3-4, and I know we'll do this next week, but then they go to Jacksonville. Good defense. Offense that's, like, actually statistically right around Pittsburgh's. Quarterback throw you the ball, running back. I mean, it's like the same thing.
Yeah.
So here we are. Rewind this back to week four. And we're just started all over again.
Yeah,
I mean the Colts aren't good.
No, with the Colts and the Browns at home, both on your schedule in the next five, the Bengals are basically 4-4.
Yeah,
you have to count those as wins. If they don't win those, then we should be talking about mock drafts. God bless us. Oh my God. If they don't, you know what I mean?
Yes.
That's just what it is.
Right.
So let's assume that they're not that bad, which we don't think they are. They have 8 games against the bloated middle.
And it's way bloated.
7 against the bloated middle and the Steelers, if you think the Steelers are up there, which I'll give you.
Yeah.
I'd give you that.
Sure.
But fine.
Yeah.
7 games against the bloated middle where they're going to have to win 5 of them.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Are you going to be
to get to 9
slightly
wins?
Above 500 or slightly below? I mean, it's really what it is.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
Yeah.
That's just it for all that's happened, for all that's gone wrong, for being 2-4, for being, what are they, they actually would be the 5th overall pick right now.
Yeah.
For all of that.
Lamar Jackson.
Stop. 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 And I did not appreciate your walkthrough headline involving mock draft texting to me or emailing to me.
Did you click it?
I opened it up because I wanted to read what you had written and see, so I knew what to expect. You keep throwing all these people my way. I just can't. I just want to have the season be the season.
That's what Bengals Twitter is after dark. It was like 2 a.m.
Very mock drafting.
I'm like, let me see who's up. It was 7 people.
When did you post it?
It was like 2 a.m.
2 a.m. You got 7 responses?
Yeah, and 6 of them were about mock drafts.
Oh, God.
So you know what? That's where... it was weird because it was like 2 or 3 playoff questions. Can they make the playoffs? And then the other ones were like mock draft. So, I mean,
people, they're on both sides of the spectrum. There's no middle.
It's kind of hilarious. But anyway, go back to what we were saying. I mean, like, you're right. It is the bloated middle. I took a look, even with the Browns, total record of the next 10 teams, 32-36. Obviously, the Vikings by record are with the Steelers at 5-2. I've seen they've been on national TV quite a bit. I'm not a believer in the Vikings either. But, you know, that's who's there.
Yeah, it's who's there.
It's who's there, and again, we've been saying it for 3 weeks.
Yep, and another thing that we've been saying for 3 weeks that I want to go back to, because you are writing about it this weekend for game day, and it is going to be probably one of the biggest stories entering Sunday. And this is under the assumption that there's not an injury in practice
right
today or tomorrow. And that is, it looks like we are going to get the return of John Ross on Sunday, the 9th overall pick that everyone loves to hate for not being healthy, because people in this town hate nothing more than people that are hurt.
Yeah.
They just hate it. And I get it. It's frustrating. And we knew he was going to be hurt. He had injury history. We'll see. I think that people, you know, he can bring something that this team desperately needs. They have not been very good at chunk plays in the passing game.
No.
They've had almost no over-the-top ability, certainly none besides A.J. Green.
Yes.
And they need it. They need something to, A, take heat off A.J. Green, and, B, clear it so they can run the ball a little bit more effectively.
Here's a scary sort of scene if you're a Bengals fan. So we know what A.J. did in Buffalo, right? 77-yard touchdown and whatever. One of the last 20-yard throws, so not this is not including Geo's catch and run in Cleveland. One of the last 20-yard throws for this team was Tyler Eifert's last. It was the 22-yarder over the middle against Houston.
Pre-Bill Lazor. Yeah.
And that, I think that might have been the play he got hurt on. But, I mean, that's 4 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And that's one of the handful. I mean, so John Ross, yes, it will be interesting to see. Cody Kore did not practice Wednesday with a concussion, so that's always who knows. But they're just missing that. I mean, Tyler Boyd didn't have a lot of catches up to the point he got hurt in Buffalo, averaging 7 yards a catch.
Yeah.
But a year ago, he had a handful of 20-yard. And when I say 20 yards, what I mean, I'm talking about deep throws, not catch and runs.
Yeah.
It's just lacking.
Well, they're purposely not doing that, right? Because A, it's not conducive to their strengths.
Right.
They can't block for that long.
Yeah, that's true.
They can't block long enough to let receivers get that far down the field.
Right. But it makes scoring hard.
Absolutely.
And they're still having a hard time scoring.
And that's what, honestly, what you're talking about is what Ken Zampezi was trying to do.
Right.
To get chunk plays, to get balls down the field,
yeah,
to throw it deep. What he learned in two games was this team can't do it.
Right.
They don't have the line to do it in its current construction.
Yeah.
They just don't. So they forced themselves to be 10, 12, 14 play drive team.
Yeah.
And when you can't really run the ball,
yeah,
and you're solely reliant on short passes, those are long drives, and you get tip balls in traffic, and you've seen a crap load of that this year, and that's been a big reason for a lot of the picks, because guys aren't running themselves open because they can't, because
they're not
good enough.
Right.
It's a matter of, you know, everyone wants to talk about, we stink at this, we stink at that. I just don't think they have. Everyone always says, oh, we've got the talent. I hear this all the time.
Yeah.
Why can't they get all this talent? Show me the offensive talent. Show it to me. Who is it? Who outside of the usual suspects is this unbelievably talented team?
Right.
They had the offensive talent.
Yeah.
They're all over the league now.
Yeah.
And until Joe Mixon is running all over the place and John Ross is being what they need him to be,
right,
they don't have the talent. That's why they drafted those two guys in the first few rounds.
Right.
So, to me, it's got to be the unknowns have to suddenly become stars, and that's why people were so mad, rightfully so, and I think it was such an egregious mistake to forget Joe Mixon in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Because of that. Because you just – these guys are – let's be honest. This sounds a little grim, but these guys are your only hope for this season.
Yeah, this season, yeah.
In my opinion, for this offense.
This says it all, Paul. And you mentioned the run game, and you really broke this down beautifully. But I asked Chuck Pagano this question. Who outside of 18 do you care about?
That's right.
Chuck Pagano.
Chuck,
says, Andy's a great game manager. Tyler Kroft can catch.
When you throw it to him,
he can catch it. And then he raved about Joe Mixon. So outside of 18, and then he finally got around to like mentioning Brandon LaFell and, you know, another guy who can catch. I don't know.
Yeah.
It was, but basically he said it all in the first 45 seconds.
Yeah.
Because that's what Andy Dalton's turned into. And unfortunately, for a guy who can be accurate, he's not that accurate.
No.
As we're seeing with the 8 picks through 7 games, which matches his season total from a year ago, So it's just, it's one, they're doing what they have to do, Paul, but I'll say this too. You know, when you don't have Tyler Eifert, you don't have John Ross. Yes, I you're right. The line, Andy can't drop back seven steps. We found that out. He found that out. But it's still just a missing element to this. Both of those guys as people, as in the playbook. And now you said it with the running game. Maybe they found something there, though.
I found something.
Yeah.
I mean, well, I shouldn't take full credit. I got to say, I love our followers. I really do, for as much as we.
Yeah.
I enjoy the interactions that we have with them. And occasionally, they bring to light something worth investigating. I mean, they often help. They always help me with ideas and things like that. But this one in particular, I looked into for a reader who asked for me to look into it, into how well the Bengals run out of shotgun. Well, anybody that watched on Sunday can tell you, wow, that seems like they're running better out of shotgun. The two long runs by Joe Mixon were both out of shotgun. That had been brought up before, how they seem to be doing better. So, okay, well, fine. Let's dive into it a little bit. So I just went, and since Bill Lazor took over, went and looked at how the Bengals have fared in runs from the shotgun versus runs from your traditional under-center formations. Now, there's a lot of variables there. So yeah. It's you have to sort of grain of salt it because, you know, you're in different formations. There's different game scenarios that brings about a different defense across from you that is more designed to stop the run. There's a lot there.
Yeah.
But I think that's kind of the point, is perhaps when you have an offensive line that can't just block and create the hole where it's supposed to be created, you kind of need to be able to make your hay on backs that can create out of the chaos.
Right.
Which means a more patient style, watching who misses their block and who doesn't, and then running off of that.
Yeah.
Which is why Joe Mixon out of the shotgun, 19 for 107, 5.6 per rush. Joe Mixon taking carries from under center. 38 for 83, 2.2. Gio Bernard, most of his runs come out of the shotgun because he's a third down guy. He's usually out there in the gun. So he's only had two runs for 2 yards. You know, no big deal. Even Jeremy Hill, 5 for 24 out of the gun, 4.8 per rush.
4.8!
And only 5 rushes, but I think he had one 12-yarder that helped. And then 16 for 38. 16 for 38. In the design.
2.4.
Which is a lot of first and 10 to start the game.
Yeah.
2.4. 2.4 better than Joe Mixon's out of the game.
Yeah.
You know, none of it's been great. But when you cut this out, when you cut this sliver out, you see something potentially. And it's like, to me, it's a scheme thing where that's the scheme that fits what these guys do.
Yeah.
And that's where they need to run with it, in my opinion, is – stop trying to be traditional run guy.
Yeah.
I don't think it works for you. Three wide, a tight end, and a single back with Andy in the gun seems to be the best way to establish a run game. Honestly, for this team thus far, that's a quarter of the season sample size. That's four games under Bill Lazor. That's not nothing. We're talking about almost 20 carries for Joe Mixon and a difference of 3+ yards per rush.
Yeah.
I mean, that could be an answer. At the very least, they need to do that a little more.
Right. And to me, Paul, this all goes back to just how intertwined the sport of football is. It's one of the reasons I love it so much. Because, you know, basketball and baseball are individual games within a team construct. This is all related. They can't throw the ball more than 10 yards.
Yeah.
So what does that mean? That means no linebackers are drifting back. That means no safeties are playing. I mean, you'll get your AJ.
Your one safety shadowing AJ.
Right. But for the most part, you're not even worrying about AJ Green going deep right now.
Yeah, because they don't have time to get it.
So, it's all really, you know what I mean? It's just interesting how, you know, now that said, they're probably going to be able to do all of this against Indianapolis.
And that's kind of my point when you start talking about Sunday, is this needs to be a game where the run game needs to get healthy.
Yeah.
They need to get some confidence.
Needs to be a Browns-Jay Hill game.
Absolutely.
The last 2 years ago.
the Colts are 26 against the run. They're now missing John Simon. It's just this. You should be able to go out there and run the football down their throats and establish that and get something going there.
Yeah.
This is the time to do it right now, because guess what? Against Saxonville, you're not going to want to be dropping back.
No.
They need to find what they do. And maybe this is shotgun thing is part of it. I don't know. I want to kind of bring it. I talked to a number of people about this topic on Off the Record, and everybody agreed with me. Yes, running out of the shotgun is different than running with Andy under center. It's, you can't say it's the same.
Right.
There's a different thing. And for Joe Mixon in particular, pretty much every single run he had at Oklahoma, because that's the way they play, was standing next to Baker Mayfield or whoever quarterback. And so there's a comfort there.
Yeah.
And maybe that's part of it. But there is a difference in how you execute it. But they also said it shouldn't matter. Even though it clearly does, it shouldn't matter. All of them are good enough where there's no saying the long runs. They've had 5 runs since Laser took over of more than 12 yards, all out of the gun.
Yeah.
There's no saying that those 5 runs, if they were with Andy under center, would not have happened that way. But maybe they don't. I don't know. They didn't.
Right.
And there was way more opportunities for long runs under center. You know, they're only running 37% of the time from the gun. So, anyway, here was running backs coach Kyle Kasky, who was particularly good in assessing my contention.
I'm curious about the differences for a running back running out of shotgun versus running from an under center. Obviously, there's different scenarios where you're typically in that, and there's kind of a different scheme. But for a running back, is there any significant difference in what you're doing and what you're looking for out of the gun compared to under center?
It depends on if it's an inside zone versus something that's going outside. A lot of times the outside things, they see better from under center because they've got a deeper. If it's inside, a lot of reads happen about the same speed as if you get the ball anyway, and you're not that far away from where you would have been. But, you know, that most of the teams in the NFL run an inside zone gun scheme, and it's not that much different from under center.
Yeah.
A lot of times it just gives your guy a little bit extra time to get a head of steam going.
Yeah.
So depends on what kind of back you have and if he has that acceleration factor where he can be a little bit slower and then accelerate, then the gun's probably pretty good for him. But if they need time to get going, you know, sometimes under center's a little better.
You guys have had a lot of success. The numbers are really big difference. I don't know how much you guys break that stuff down. And like I said, so much is situational, so I don't know how much to make of it, but it's like a big gap between running out of the gun compared to under center. Do you make anything out of that, or do you not give it much?
We look at tendencies more than we look at how we're doing when it comes to that, because sometimes, you know, like runs that we have, they're made by the running back after he gets to the line and maybe makes somebody miss.
Yeah.
And that could happen in the gun or under center, which we saw with Joe this last week. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he would have had that same run had he been in the gun or under center. So, you know, we do look at things like that to see if there is something. If we find that a certain play is working, then we'll stick with it. But a lot of times we look at why the play happened and what was good about it, point of attack type of things. But, you know, a lot of times it doesn't have anything to do with the gun or under center.
So Joe's obviously used to that, though. I mean, at Oklahoma, I haven't gone back and watched it, but I watched enough Oklahoma to know that he was standing next to Baker Mayfield, you know,
well,
most plays.
That's college football, though.
Right.
College football, they don't run under center at all. I'd say at all, if any, most teams. And LSU does. But, you know, they're different in all categories. You know, most colleges are gun schemes. So one of the things I know is more scouting players is we have to make sure that centers and quarterbacks can do under center snaps, you know, because we have to look at them and say, hey, can you actually take a snap? Can you give a snap?
Yeah.
And then as a running back, it's not that big of a deal. I think a lot of guys are more comfortable in the gun just because they've come from that. And we don't have to spend nearly as much time working handoffs and ball handling with those guys.
All right. So there was Kyle kind of saying, you know, it's not really that big of a deal. I would just say the numbers say otherwise a little bit, and maybe they should be trying that a little more. We will see.
Right.
Optimistic Bobby time 50 West owner Bobby Slattery has a good question for us this week.
I'm ready.
That's all I can tease for you. Here is Bobby Slattery.
All right, welcome into our latest edition of Optimistic Bobby, 50 West owner Bobby Slattery with his optimistic takes. The Bengals fans, Bobby, they need you. They need you today. They need you this week. This is a big one for you.
Who day, Paul? Who day?
Don't be sad. Don't be
sad. I'm not sad. Like I said from the beginning, until we get to that ninth loss, things are still good. We're still okay.
I hear you. I did. That sounded a little beaten down.
You know, I'm not really beaten down. I would have liked to have been screaming "Who day" here. I'm looking forward to the schedule ahead. It would have been great to beat Pittsburgh, but we didn't. So I'm going to stay as my usual self. I'm going to be optimistic. I'm going to take some positives from the game. It does seem, though, you know, Dalton. Somebody said that during the telecast that Andy Dalton says it's the same game every time. And I really feel like it's continuing, like it is the same game over and over again when you're watching that Pittsburgh Bengals game. Like every possession is the point where, like, if we screw this up, the game's over or whatever. And, it's all good. It's all good. They're gonna come back in our house and play us in Cincinnati on Monday Night Football, and I'm excited for that. So,
yeah, it'll be the shining moment of this season. That's what you got. That's how you got to look. It's the revenge game, prime time. You can dispel so many of the, shall we call them, bugaboos that have faced this team. It's perfect. It sets it up. It sets it up perfectly.
Exactly. So team looked great in the first half. Will Jackson's legit good. Can we say that now? Is that official?
You can say that. Yep. You can say
that. You know he's a favorite of mine, and he really he was fantastic in that game. We change a few things in the second half, and maybe things go better. I'm good. I'm in a good place. I feel good about the game against the Colts this week. I feel good about our team. You know, Pittsburgh was better than us last week, and the goal is to continue to improve. And hopefully when Pittsburgh comes in here on Monday night, we're sitting in a completely different spot.
Man, I kind of feel like I'm in a Marvin Lewis press conference right now.
It's all good. So I'm going to be quick with you, though. I'm going to keep this quick. We got a lot of things to focus on. And you don't need me talking. Plus, I have a really great question for you, I feel like, this week.
Okay, all right.
Get into. So we touched on Will Jackson's legit good. And I'm excited for John Ross to come back out. Let's see what he brings to the table. You ready for my question, though?
I am.
Okay. So one of the things that, now that I'm Twitter famous with 500 followers, you really get the pulse of the Bengals fans out there. And so my question for you and Jim, or let's assume you guys were doctors, and all drugs are legal, or you can use any drug.
Okay.
What drugs would you prescribe to your Bengals fans out there? It seems like it's really an intense emotional roller coaster, which I feel like you guys are in the thick of. So,
yeah.
Obviously, I'm on one end of the spectrum. There's some other ones out there as well. But I'd like to talk about what – I know that you guys are not medical professionals, but I think that, you know, you deal with those emotions on a regular basis, and I think it's fair for you guys to come up with some prescriptions for us.
We could do that. So you're referring to – are you referring to Bengals fans in general or our Twitter followers?
Let's just use the general consensus of people that you guys deal with on a daily basis in Twitter.
Okay. All right.
Because – you know, 2 weeks ago, I felt like it was high of all highs, and then the minute they lose, it just turns into
it's fantastic. You're seeing now that you're Twitter famous and you've got all these followers, you see what it really looks like out there. It's a very dark, dark space.
The highs are really high, though. I mean,
you're right.
It's fun on both ends, you know. I think
you're right.
That's why I think, you know, I would say, I don't know if therapy can get people more in the middle, but you might be able to use some drugs. So what
yeah.
Would
all right, I
would
like
you and Jim prescribe?
Man. All right. So what all is going on out at 50 West? I know the Bruin Q is coming up on in November 4th, right?
Yep. This is a couple weeks away. Big thing is next week. After 5 years of waiting, the great people of Kentucky will be able to drink 50 West beer in the state of Kentucky. That's launching on Monday. It's really exciting. And then we'll be taking over Mainstrass next Friday. So we'll be running a
wow.
Up and down. Yeah.
Nice.
Good stuff. So we're going to be driving, you know, we're fixing up our beat up old Volkswagens right now, trying to make sure they can drive across the bridge, but they're going to be on display.
Didn't it catch fire? Didn't it catch fire?
I caught one of them on fire. Only one. You know, the first one caught on fire.
Okay.
Everybody was safe. They were actually being redone again. It's a beautiful six top table on our patio. Next time you're in, if you want to be sit inside of a burnt down Volkswagen van, stop by 50 West and experience it firsthand.
Of course. That's great. All right. Sounds great, Bobby. Well, we'll talk to you next week. And we'll talk drugs now.
I love it. Hootay, keep believing. This is a special team we have here.
Drugs. They need drugs.
Yeah.
Man, when you start really getting a true view of the Twitter roller coaster, I always am amazed when I go back and look through my mentions from beginning to end of a game how high and low people ride, man.
Yeah.
People just get rash.
Yeah. So, you know, obviously, this is the BBP. We don't condone the use of
We're just answering the questions
or anything of that nature. Illegal things. We don't condone that at all or recommend it. However, there are plenty of ways to handle Twitter and the roller coaster. Not just Twitter, but the roller coaster. We live it every week. I think Paul handles it better than I do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I did tweet out Oscar the Grouch, I Love Trash song.
You love to get in the trash.
I'll wade in. To me, the best thing is just mainline coffee.
Legal drug.
So you can just, you're just high all the time.
Yeah.
Like, there is no dip because you're just wired. The eyelids, back of the head, whole day. There's no dip.
No.
I mean, the crash comes real hard, you know, when you're, like, done at, like, 11 o'clock. But then you go to sleep.
Then yeah, exactly.
Or, like me, maybe, like, 2:30 in the morning. But still.
Go sleep it off.
I mean, regardless.
Yeah.
So that's my recommendation, is just, like, there, you know, what, like, it's like the perpetual of the roller coaster.
Yeah.
You just, it's just, you're, that's just what you're on.
I'm torn because I have two that I would probably want to prescribe.
Is this like a hand dryer thing? Is this
no,
like a bad?
Stop, okay. Stop.
All right.
First of all, I was vindicated.
You were not.
On your BS study of all the germs that fly into the air.
You lost 3-1.
No.
I don't even know how that works. You didn't lose. I mean, it's a power ranking. I mean,
I didn't lose anything.
Yeah, it was
and
still
then
nobody agreed with
then people were tweeting the study about how all these germs fly up into the air when that study was clearly debunked. That you know who did that study? The paper towel lobby. They have no morals. They're strictly trying to fill their coffers.
That's true.
Damn the paper towel lobby. Anyway, I have two. One, and I think Zoloft is probably a good place to start. I always go back to the commercial of the little bouncing happy man.
Yeah.
I think sometimes you just need to stare off into the distance and just bounce along.
Is this the one you're in the tub?
In the tub?
Yeah, is this the one where they're in the tub looking out at the sun?
No, that's Viagra. They're Cialis.
Oh.
Where they're in two separate tubs and holding hands? That's definitely, it's like Cialis, I think.
Well, that could help.
That could help. I would, yeah, you're right. That could help with things. I also would say I would go with like a Percocet as well. Numb the pain. The way some things have gone lately, it's probably best just to numb. Just take it.
Yeah.
Take it at 12:30 on Sunday afternoon and just ride through the game so it doesn't hurt
you
too much.
You might be able to go see your primary care physician and get proper prescriptions for such things.
Yeah.
Like you come in just wearing all like orange and black.
I need help, Doc.
That might be enough.
Okay. We answered the question that was asked of us. That's all we can do.
Yep.
And again, every Sunday out at 50 West, remember they have a Sunday ticket. They've got all their beers on tap, which are delicious. Tons of space, picnic tables, the garage doors. If it's nice, can be open this weekend, they'll be down. But you've got everything going on there. So head down to 50 West on Sundays. Watch football. Home of Optimistic Bobby. And Optimistic Bengals fans everywhere. Yeah. So head down there. All right. Prediction time. I think we pretty much spilled our guts earlier on that, but what do you got?
Yeah, I think it's this is a Browns game, 27-10. I think, and the reason they score 10 is because they have a few playmakers who can score, and their kicker is, you know, the greatest of all time. So unlike Cleveland, where Gonzo missed one and they couldn't really get much going, I do think the Colts have enough to score because it's defense. While in the end the stats will look good, they can't ever seem to just, you know, not give up points.
Yeah.
Even to bad clubs. So, which I'm kind of hinting at my prediction for the next 3 weeks anyway with that one. But you let me down. I planted my flag, and then it got blown over.
You did.
So, I it's over. The flag's gone. They'll win this one 27-10. I do think it's just we talked about the bounce back thing a couple, you know, when we thought. Mm. I mean, Andy did play better against Houston, but the real bounce back came against Green Bay. When Andy and AJ don't play well together, that tends to get fixed.
Mm-hmm.
And the Colts are bad. So I do think it looks good statistically as well, 27-10.
Sounds about right. I'm in the same area. I've got 28-13.
Yeah.
You know, same concept. I support everything you said. We'll wrap it at that. Okay, remember, BTS on Tuesday, Holy Grail Banks, 7 o'clock. Nick Vigil will be our guest, Bengals linebacker, who pretty much plays every snap now.
Yep.
We'll have to talk to him about, like, cattle roping and stuff.
Yeah.
Which is always interesting. And then the week after that, because we're already booked out.
Yeah.
The week after that, Michael Johnson will be our guest. I love talking to Mike.
Yeah.
I saw Mike. Mike came to Carlos Dunlap's anti-bullying event in Pittsburgh that I went to, which look for that. That'll be Sunday's BX. My man Kareem Elgazar is working the video up as we speak, and that'll be all about what Carlos is doing, which you probably heard of it, but it's really awesome, and the Pittsburgh experience was particularly cool. I got to credit him on that. Mike Mitchell showed up, of all people.
Yeah.
Kareem leans over. He goes, like, the Mike Mitchell? And I was like, yeah. Like, the one who just got the massive fine and is, you know, showed up to kind of be the good guy a little bit. He knows Carlos from off-season workouts. But anyway, much more on that in BX on Sunday, so make sure you check that out. Jim's story on the other weapons,
yeah.
Things like that. And then, obviously, Cincinnati.com. Sunday, we'll have all your coverage, so check it out. We'll talk to you later.
We are back from Beyond the Stripes. Give it up, please, for Andy Dalton one more time. Thank you. Andrew Gregory Dalton. I need to get right at the really hardcore stuff. Chris Mack, by his own humble admission, claims that he absolutely smoked you last year in Papa Shot. Now, we have given you a chance to get your revenge with this really cool thing we've got over here in the corner. I guess what I want to know is, one, how long have you been patiently awaiting the chance to return the favor? First question. And two, did the 0-3 start have anything to do with you being preoccupied with getting revenge on Chris Mack?
I was hoping that there'd be Papa Shot tonight, but obviously we're going to be throwing football a little bit. I guess they're footballs. I don't even know. But no, it had nothing to do with the.
I'm trying to give you an out here, man. You're not taking it.
I'm not going to take it.
All right. Well, that's to your credit. The obvious question, I guess, I have is, how does an offense that goes from performing the way yours did in the first half Sunday go to doing what it did in the second half on Sunday?
I think the biggest thing that we struggled with in the second half is we were behind the chains. We weren't getting positive plays on early downs, and when you get in third and long, especially against a defense like that, I mean, it's hard to convert. And so, you know, we had a couple series with the two turnovers, and you can't do that against those teams. But I think the biggest thing is we were behind the chains, and we weren't able to overcome it.
A.J. Green said after the game, which I thought was very surprising, that the Steelers, quote, had your number. Do you feel that that's true?
I mean, I wouldn't necessarily say that. They played better than us.
Sunday. I'm talking about in the long haul, in the big picture.
No, I mean, if you look at the record, they've obviously beat us more than we beat them. But, all you can worry about is the season that the game that you're playing and what you're going to do that season. So we got another opportunity to play them this year, and obviously we're going to do everything we can to win.
Do you feel that the Steelers' overall talent is that much better? It's been, what, 7 out of 8 or 8 out of 9 that they've beaten you in the last couple of years. Is their talent that much better than yours?
No, I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say you could say that about a lot of teams in the NFL.
Right.
The NFL, the talent's similar across the board. And so it just comes down to execution and playing well that day.
What's missing beyond the obvious, beyond you're talking about execution? Is there something else? I mean, AJ said the stuff about having your number. You don't agree with him. Nobody else I talked to in the locker room after the game agreed with him. But when AJ says something like that, you listen. Well, is there something else that you would like to talk about that's missing from this team when it plays that team in that game?
I think we've talked about it a lot. It's just one game, and so it's one team. And we play 14 other games besides playing them. So, we're going to do everything we can to keep winning and find a way to win this week, and we'll move forward from there.
What were your thoughts for 2 years, the last 2 years, when you saw kind of a steady dismantling of what was one of the best offenses in the league?
You know, it's part of football. I think that's when you look at it, you want to keep your guys. But at the end of the day, it's a business, and they found opportunities other places, and they got contracts that they deserved, and so. Obviously, I wanted everybody to be back, but it's the nature of the business.
Who's the best quarterback working right now, in your opinion?
Man, that's a good question. I would have said Aaron Rodgers, he got hurt.
He's not working right now.
I guess he's not. He's definitely not working right now. I think Carson Wentz is playing at a high level. You see what he's done, and the Eagles are playing well right now.
Did you watch him last night?
I watched some. I didn't watch all the game, though.
Okay. Well, as a quarterback, if you're watching casually a game like that, what do you learn, if anything, from watching other guys?
Yeah, if you're watching just a game, you're kind of seeing what concepts they're running, what their offense is trying to do against the defenses, and see how he's made plays. You know, he had a big play down the field, threw it 65 yards or something like that. And so... that kind of stuff's fun to watch.
Now, I've been here about as long as you've been alive. I've covered lots of quarterbacks. You are in a league of your own when it comes to being, shall we say, guarded with your answers to the media, with letting us in. I mean, Boomer Esiason would tell me what he had for breakfast if I asked, you know? How much of what you say in a setting like this or in a press conference setting is... designed just to give the press something to write? How much of yourself do you actually reveal?
I mean, that's a tough question. I feel like I try to answer the question the best way that I feel like I need to, and so we'll kind of just go from there. But I mean, it's hard to say, oh, I'm giving you everything or I'm not giving you anything.
Would you describe yourself as guarded in public?
I wouldn't say that.
No?
No.
Okay.
That's I may not be as outspoken as Boomer. But,
not many people are. I mean, that's a tough comparison.
If you're going to compare me to Boomer, it might be a little different.
Yeah, okay. Do people underestimate your toughness and leadership qualities because you're so humble?
I'm not really hearing what everybody's saying about my, toughness and leadership, but all I know is what the team thinks, and I feel pretty good about it.
Okay. What would your wife Jordan say is your best quality?
What's my best quality? Would you like to answer? I don't know, the love that I have for my family.
Yes.
Does that work for you? I hope she would say that one.
Okay, good. Now what would she say that annoys her most about you?
Man, good question. Nothing. Yeah, right.
Nothing?
Yeah, right. When I leave my shoes out, I feel like she always steps on my shoes.
You leave your shoe? Man, that's unbelievably bad. How do you manage to walk the streets at night without getting arrested if you do something like that?
I'm trying to think of something that letting you in a little bit. You know what I mean?
Let me in a little
bit.
Yeah. Well, I would like that. That's what I'm doing this for.
Yeah.
But ladies and gentlemen, he leaves his shoes out and they get stepped on? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
That's just horrible stuff right there. What is your favorite vacation spot?
Hawaii.
Where?
Where?
Anywhere in particular.
We've been to a couple of the islands. We went to the Big Island. We've been to Maui. I'll probably say Maui. Maui was pretty good.
Honolulu.
Been to Honolulu, too.
Obviously, right?
Yeah.
Did you ever go to the North Shore and watch the surfers?
We did, yeah.
Isn't that great?
Yeah,
it's
like
the best thing I did. They sent me 1 year after the 2005 season. I got done with work really early because of deadline stuff and was able to go to the North Shore and watch those guys surf those waves. It was hypnotic, man, watching the waves. You got a chance to do that?
Yeah, those guys are impressive.
Have you ever considered copywriting your hairstyle?
Copywriting it?
Patenting it, making it your own.
I feel like it is my own.
Well, that's true.
I've heard that people have gone into a place to get their hair cut and have asked for this hairstyle, asked for the Andy Dalton haircut.
Really?
And so I guess it kind of happened on its own.
Have you ever met anybody who actually has gotten that hairstyle?
No.
I didn't think so.
You should try it.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Name me one other famous redhead. Because I had to look them up. I couldn't name one, except I did get one. I actually had to look these up.
Carrot Top, Ed Sheeran, he's another famous redhead.
Yeah? How about Lucille Ball?
Yeah.
You heard of her?
That's one.
There you go. Prince Harry.
Yeah.
He's a redhead.
He is.
How about The Little Mermaid? Famous redhead.
Pretty famous.
Jessica Rabbit was a redhead, but they're cartoon characters. What is the worst thing you ever did as a kid? I mean, I have a picture in my mind of little Andy Dalton, like, you know, refusing to make your bed or feeding your broccoli to the dog under the table. What is the worst thing you ever did as a child?
Man, worst thing I did. I feel like I was a good kid.
I'm sure you were.
I don't know. The worst thing I did. Like, I don't have anything that's going to be fun.
No.
That I did, no. I mean, I'm sure I complained about stuff. I'm sure I threw tantrums when I didn't get my way, but I didn't do anything big.
You must have been like the easiest kid in the world to raise.
I mean, I'd like to think so.
Yeah? Yeah.
I'd like to think so.
Do you get mad ever?
Yeah, I get mad.
Yes? She doesn't. Your wife is saying not really. I don't see you ever getting mad. Even away from the field, you get mad. How do you show that anger?
How do I show anger?
Yeah, when you're mad.
It just depends on the situation.
Well, give me a situation where you got mad and what you did.
I don't know. What did you say? She walked on my shoes. She would have got mad at me, though.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, I can get mad at my dog.
You get mad at your dog.
My dog pooped in the house today.
Yeah.
There's something letting you in.
Yeah, that's great.
I got mad.
Man, I might write that.
Yeah.
What'd you do to the dog? Throw one of the stepped-on shoes at him, or
yeah.
What? Yeah.
The dog got outside.
Okay. But you never seem to get rattled. You know, you have this amazingly even temperament.
I feel like I've always been that way. And, some people that I look up to have said that's one of the great qualities that you can have. And, especially playing quarterback, you got to be that way.
Wanting to take them one game at a time.
Yep.
And the Cleveland game means as much as the Pittsburgh game.
Absolutely.
Nobody believes that but you.
And everybody else in the NFL, the counts as a division game.
Perhaps.
Maybe not this city, but,
well, not in
but
this
they
city,
all
for
they all
sure.
count the same.
I ask this question of a lot of people, and it might be really good for you, especially good for you. When you get to the gates of heaven, and we all know you're getting there, what are you going to say to St. Peter to let you in?
What am I going to say?
Yeah.
I love Jesus. He's the Lord of my life. He died on the cross for my sins, and I'm home.
How about that? I have nothing. I really have nothing else to ask you. Do you have anything you'd like to ask me?
What's the maddest you've been?
Oh, I get mad every day, all the time. Ask my wife. Yeah.
Yeah.
Everything makes me
mad. What's the worst thing that you've done as a kid?
The worst thing I did as a kid, I had two fake IDs. I got one, and my parents found it and grounded me for like 6 weeks, right?
Yeah.
As soon as I got off that, I went and got another one.
Yeah? How old were you?
I was 16, and I wanted to drink beer. And then I got caught again, and I was 17 when I went to college, and nobody was ever happier to go to college than I was. And no parents were ever happier than a kid was going to college than my parents were.
Yeah.
So there you go. Andy Dalton, you're off the hot seat. Thank you very much.
Hey.
Back in a minute on Beyond the Stripes.